Now in Exodus chapter 2 and in verse 1, the Bible says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Now please be seated. Now this is a special time, and we have some holidays, that national holidays and so on, that wouldn't hurt us much if we didn't have those holidays. I can think of a couple of right now. If I could cancel them out, I'd done it a long time ago. But Mother's Day is not one of them. Mother's Day is a very, very significant time to remember mothers. And the Bible says in the Ten Commandments, it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother." And I've always thought of Mother's Day services like this, that it's not so much that mothers need to be listening, just mothers, but children need to be listening. And sometimes there needs to be a revival in people about the honor that they show to their mothers. And little children need all the reminders they can get to honor their mother, because the outcome of a person's life, for good or bad, is going to depend a lot on how they treat their mother as they're growing up. Things do not go well for people who dishonor their parents when they're growing up. I've watched it now for a long, long time. And children that do not honor their parents, things just don't work out too well for them in life. But those who do honor their parents and show them their respect, and we might say go out of the way to show kindnesses and respect to their parents, it seems like things work out very well for those children as opposed to those who withhold that honor. So the Bible says, "Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long on the earth, which the Lord thy God hath given thee." There's a real promise in that commandment. But I want to say something that's probably not going to come as a surprise to most of you, and that is that godly mothers are becoming more and more rare. And we need a revival and a repopulation of godly mothers in churches. And it's just important. I want to give you a quick description of what a godly mother is, because a lot of times we take for granted that everybody understands what we're talking about when we talk about this or we talk about that. And many times people don't know. They're clueless. They don't really know what we're talking about. Most of us know what we're talking about, but a lot of people have one idea about what a godly mother is. And they might think, well, a godly mother is somebody that just goes to church all the time, and they don't smoke, and they don't chew. If you live down in Kentucky or Tennessee, you'd understand that, because down there some mothers have smoked and chewed and so on and so forth. But there's a lot more to being a godly person than just those things. Just to capsulize real quick, a description of a godly mother. A godly mother is somebody who has experienced salvation. Not somebody who's just heard about it all their life and learned enough to talk about it, but somebody who has really had a definite personal experience of being saved. A godly mother has experienced salvation. That means, and my mind was stirred up a little bit this morning as Brother McDowell was teaching the Sunday school lesson and showing how that these new versions leave out such important text and teachings in the Bible. And one that he mentioned was where that the newer versions, and think about this, he'd already shown how that they leave out references to the devil and to Satan. Who do you think would be behind that? Amen. And references to hell. But it's really noteworthy that these new versions leave out the word repentance. They just cut it out. Because we live in a day now that when people have been taught that you don't have to repent, in other words, you don't have to turn from your sin, you don't have to do that and be sorry for sin and resolve that you want to turn from sin in your life in order to be saved. That's what repentance is. And in order to experience salvation, a person has to have an experience of repentance. There are two things that operate simultaneously when a person gets saved. Number one, people turn from their sin. You remember when you got saved, those of you who got saved, in your heart, you may not have even known the word repentance existed. But you know that you turn from your sin. And at the same time, you trusted in Jesus Christ to be your Savior. That's what salvation is. And you can't leave out either one of those things and say that you're saved and be honest about it. A real experience of salvation is when one has turned from their sin and they've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone to be their Savior. Now, a godly mother has experienced salvation. You can't be a godly mother if you're not saved because you don't know God. You're without God. But there's a second thing. A really godly mother has established some standards in her life. Thank God for old-fashioned Christian mothers. Not these newfangled, so to speak, Christian mothers today who are just as worldly as anybody else. A really godly mother has established some standards. And you know where she finds her standards? In the Bible. In the Word of God. That's why these Sunday school lessons are so important. There's only one Bible. There's only one Word of God. There's not a whole bunch of them. A thing is either true or it's not true. It's as simple as that. And there was an old frontiersman named Davy Crockett who said one time, "Be sure you're right, then go ahead." And a godly mother wants to know that she's right in how she lives and how she raises her children. And she gets her standard for rightness from the Word of God. So a godly mother has found these standards right here in the Bible. They're in the Bible. We don't need to make anything up. We just look and see what the Bible says. And not only that, she's not only found the standards, but she follows them. See, a lot of people have found the standards in the Bible. They know really what the Bible's talking about, but they don't follow what the Bible says. And that brings us to this point. You know, a person can believe and just be radically convinced of the King James Bible being the only Bible. But if you're not going to follow the Bible, it really doesn't matter whether you have an NIV or a ESV or any other of that alphabet soup that comes with these new Bibles. If you're not going to follow the Word of God, that's not good. A godly mother has set some standards that she's found in the Bible, and she's following those standards in her life. And furthermore, a godly mother fosters those standards that she knows is in the Bible for living. She fosters those in her children's lives. In other words, she wants her children to live that way. She brings her children up to live according to the Bible. Thank God for godly mothers. Now you look at Jochebed's background, and I think everybody here is familiar with this. If we'd read chapter 1, we see that they were living in terrible, terrible times. The Hebrews were in Egypt. And they were such bad times, so wicked, that the Pharaoh at that time had put out a commandment that all of the little boy children, babies, were to be put to death. Does that sound familiar? I mean, it was a sanctioned, legalized dictate and decree of Egypt's government that these baby boys be put to death. And you read about that in chapter 1. So when Jochebed, in chapter 2, we see Jochebed had a baby, and they hid that little baby child in the made a little basket for it, and daubed it, made it out of reeds and daubed it with mud. And you can see Jochebed working so carefully to get that just right. They put the little baby in it to try to save it from impending death, and hid it alongside the river in the water within the bulrushes. And down comes Pharaoh's daughter, the prince, Egyptian princess, and she sees that baby. And in the providence of God, here's Miriam, his older sister. She wasn't very old at that time. And the Bible says she's standing afar off. In other words, they put that baby down there in the bulrushes, and Miriam is standing afar off watching. Why is she? Well, no doubt she's following the directions of her mother. And in the providence of God, the princess of Egypt comes and she finds that baby, and Miriam is there to offer, to find a nursemaid, and the nursemaid is none other than Jochebed. And so Jochebed and Miriam are employed in Pharaoh's own household to take care of this little baby. That was all in the providence of God. Isn't God a good God? God is a wonderful God and working out his purposes. So this tells us something about Jochebed's background. But it's really something to notice here that Jochebed was born. Look the kind of family she's born in. This is a wonderful, wonderful woman here. And you read about Moses' parents. You read more about them in Hebrews chapter 11. But Jochebed is a wonderful, wonderful example of a Christian woman and a mother. Here's a couple of things about her background. She was a woman who was born into a family. Now, this is so important. Family is so important. She was born into a family that served the Lord. The Bible says in verse 1, she was a daughter of Levi. Now, Levi, of all the tribes of Judah, was a tribe set aside to especially serve in the Lord's tabernacle and serve in the offerings, and just in all of the service of the Lord, they took the lead. The whole tribe of Levi, they were all about service to God. And that's the kind of people that Jochebed was born into. She was a daughter of Levi. And the Bible says, if you go to Numbers chapter 26 and verse 59, says the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, again, the daughter of Levi. And Amram was Jochebed's husband. And he was an outstandingly good man. Because the Bible says he was also born into the tribe of Levi. So both of these people, husband and wife, mother and father to Moses, are both part of all their life revolved around serving God. Let me just say this. There's nothing wrong with that. There's everything right about that. For families to be brought up to where church comes first, serving the Lord is at the top, a top priority in that family, and everybody knows it. So she was born into a family that, or he was born into a family. Excuse me, I'll go back. She was, so was he, but she was born into a family that was serving the Lord was what it was all about. It's kind of like that family of Stephanus. And not only Stephanus, but the household of Fortunatus. And another one that's mentioned, the household of Chloe is mentioned in the New Testament. And they were addicted to serving, the Bible says they were addicted to ministry. These are the kind of people that you like to have in a church. People who have to get their fix each week when it comes to serving the Lord. It's in their DNA. It's their appetite. They want to serve the Lord. This is the kind of family that Jochebed was born into, and thank God for women like that. You know, I think about my own wife. I think about some others here, that people that I know, and they were born in families like that, that they just lived to serve the Lord. Now, not everybody is born into a family like that. Some women are born into a family. It's the complete opposite of that. But here's the good news. You may have a background where your mother wasn't a godly mother. She wasn't even a Christian mother, maybe. You didn't have any Christians in your family. But here's the deal. You can be the first one. Amen. You can be the godly mother from then on that your children will be blessed by. Now, here's another thing. Not only was she born into a family that served the Lord, she was born into a family that shaped her life. Amen. We just can't go at this business of raising a family and raising children willy-nilly, come what will. We have to have a vision for the shaping of our children's lives. The attitude of so many modern day mothers and parents is, I'll let my children shape their own life. Well, they're not going to shape their own life. There's a whole bunch of people out there who are ready and eager to shape your children's lives. Somebody is going to shape our children's life. It's either going to be people in the neighborhood. It's going to be people on television, or in the movie scene, or the celebrity world of sports, or in classrooms, in the public schools, or whatever, who are going to shape our children's life. We need to get up ahead of all of that and shape our own children's lives. Jochebed was brought up in that kind of family. She was an old-fashioned, godly mother who had her own life shaped, and you can believe that she would do a good job of shaping her own children's life. The Bible still says, this hadn't been cut out of the King James Bible yet, and it never will be out of the King James Bible. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. That's talking about our responsibility to shape our children's lives. Now I want to say three quick things about Jochebed. Number one, I want us to think about what Jochebed felt as a mother. If there's anybody on earth that runs the gamut of feelings in their life, it's a mother. Amen. Their feelings are up. There are things that bring their feelings down. And on and on and on. So we want to see what Jochebed felt as a mother. Just to be reminded of some of these things. Some of you girls need a little reinforcement, undergirding, little refreshing encouragement to be godly young women, so you can attain to taking on the greatest responsibility in the whole world, which is to be a godly mother of children. Jochebed had a lot of things that touched her feelings. But then secondly, I want us to see what Jochebed faced as a mother. Now, this is particularly important to our day, beloved. I look back over there at Mandy and across the auditorium at, the younger mothers in here, and you got a lot to face today to be a godly mother. Then lastly, I want to see what Jochebed found. What she felt as a mother, what she faced as a mother, and what she found. Now, what she felt as a mother, for one thing, and I just want you to look at our verses, and I drew these thoughts from these verses, which is a pretty good place to draw your thoughts, amen. And the Lord helped me to notice something very, very obvious comes to mind here, that one of the things Jochebed felt right away becoming a mother to Moses was she felt the pain that comes with motherhood. I couldn't ever wrap my head around that. You've heard me say this, and I've said it all my adult life, I guess, but I just cannot grasp what mothers go through bringing children into this world. I'm talking about the actual physical childbirth. One of the craziest things I ever heard anybody say was when they were visiting a new mother in the hospital, and they said something to the effect, I know how you must have been feeling. I doubt it. She felt the pain that's involved with the child's birth, the immediate pain. Verse 2 says, "And the woman conceived and bare a son." And I'm just the furthest, closest I can get to it is to say that must have hurt. I see some heads nodding out there. So there was the immediate pain of being a mother. Here's what all of us need to keep in mind is that our mothers went through some pain just to bring us into this world. Some physical pain. Some immediate pain for us to be here today. But then there's something else. She also felt the pain that is involved in terms of intermittent pain. A mother, most mothers, feel pain. It's not, they don't just feel the pain of bringing a child into the world, the physical pain, and that's it. But there's intermittent pain. There's the pain of seeing a child as it's growing up do things that are disappointing. And that hurts. And to see a little child as it's growing up maybe being mistreated or abused by other children in the neighborhood. We could just go on and on and on. And a mother feels that. She feels that kind of pain on and on. To see her child, even when after they're grown, disappointed because they didn't get admitted to school. They were counting on that. They got turned down for a job that they really wanted. They have some other heartache that comes into their child's life. And the mother feels the pain of their children. There's that intermittent pain. So Jochebed, as a godly mother, had these feelings of experiencing pain. Bringing that child into the world and watching him grow up in the world. But she also felt the pleasure that comes with motherhood. And I know there's a lot of pleasure that comes with motherhood. Amen. When you look at this verse 2, the Bible goes from what we can just imagine was going on when the woman conceived. But then the Bible says, but when she saw him, the pain began to dissipate. The pleasure of having that baby offset that pain that came with bringing that baby into the world. Now, when she saw him as a goodly child. To her, he was the best-looking baby that had ever been born. To her, he was really something. Everything. And in her mind, she was just thinking one thing. It's all been worth it. It's been worth it. She said, saw him as a goodly child. Now, this is unlike so many mothers today. And there's never been anything like it, like it is in modern times. She didn't see her baby as being a burden put on her life. And I've talked to lots of women through the years that that's the way they view their children. If they don't come right out and say it, and some of them have, they say it in so many words and let it be known that these children in my life have really been a drag on me, they've been a burden to me, and so on and so forth. She didn't see that child as being such a burden that she would make arrangements for it to not ever be able to be born. Jochebed was a godly mother, and therefore she did not see her baby as being a burden on her life. She wasn't grieving over the birth of that baby. She was glad that she'd given birth to that child. Amen. And she didn't see this baby as a mistake. It wasn't a mistake. This is our accidental child. Because she was a godly mother. She knows there's no accidents with God. She didn't see this baby as a potential cramp on her lifestyle. That's not the way godly mothers think. But she saw this baby as a goodly child. She saw him as a gift from God. She saw him as a goodly child. She didn't see him as a burden on her life. A godly mother doesn't see her children like that. She saw this baby that had come into the world as a real blessing that God had brought into her life. It's interesting when you read this, when that baby is firstborn, it hasn't, the nurses haven't come in to clean him up or anything like that. And he's all red and wrinkly and, he's fresh out of the womb. And she saw him as a goodly child then. She saw him as a goodly child when he was all red and wrinkled and screaming at the top of his lungs. She saw him as a goodly child. And when he got older, I can just imagine a godly woman when her child, that little baby, grows up and his or her features change and they're looking pretty good physically. But they might mess up in their life. They might make some real blunders. They might get themselves in some pretty bad fixes. Do some really stupid things. Children will have stupidity spasms. Amen. But you know what? In spite of all of that, a godly mother, still, nobody can change her mind. That child, if he's a teenager, if he's 30 or 40 years old, is their goodly child. Amen. Now, it's wonderful to see how Jochebed felt as a godly mother. She felt some pain, and motherhood's a lot like fatherhood. It's a lot harder, at least in our home. Motherhood is. But this is the way godly mothers feel. It's the way Jochebed felt. And lastly, I want us to look at what Jochebed faced as a mother. Now, she faced two things. We know the situation, the circumstances, conditions that existed during this time. And when Moses was born, the immediate circumstances are pretty shaky. But what I'm going to say about Jochebed right now applies to mothers today, as no other time maybe in our history. She faced the greatest threat that a godly mother can face. She really faced a threat here. When the reason she did was because Egypt, where they lived, was a whole different Egypt when Moses was born. It was a whole different Egypt that her baby was going to grow up in than Egypt, than the Egypt that Jochebed and Amram had grown up in. If you want to see what I'm talking about, at verse 8, there says, there arose a new king over Egypt who knew not Joseph. Jochebed and Amram were like a lot of people today, my age and a little younger and some older, that grew up in a country where that they enjoyed a lot of freedom and a lot of prosperity and where life was good. And there was a king back then, there was a government when Amram and Jochebed were growing up that favored Egypt, favored their religious and their religion and their worship, and showed some honor to their God, and so on and so forth. And under those past kings, they lived with prosperity and freedom, as I said, and life was very good for them as they were living in the land of Goshen. But by the time Moses is born, there had arisen a new king. He didn't know anything about Joseph. He didn't have any respect whatsoever for Joseph's memory, for the people of Joseph, for the God of Joseph. Just the exact opposite. This new king, it's a new situation here. Here's a king who has no respect for their God. And as you read on, you'll figure this out. He was a king who actually hated them. He hated the Hebrews. And Jochebed is bringing a baby into the world under those conditions. As a godly mother, she faced a culture that was full of depravity. That's the way this culture is today. This culture that we have here in America, where mothers are raising their children, is a culture that is full of depravity. If you want a snapshot, picture, profile, mirror image of our culture today, turn to Romans chapter 1 and read from verse 18 through verse 32. This is a picture of our culture today. Egypt was a highly immoral, godless, paganistic place when Moses came into the world, and America has become a highly ungodly place and a culture here that is full of depravity. That's the kind of world that Jochebed has brought her son into. And that's the kind of world that children are brought into today. I don't mean to rain on anybody's parade, but I want to try to say some things that are going to be helpful and encouraging. But this is the nitty-gritty truth. This is not the same place. This is not Leave It to Beaver anymore. Amen. This is mothers today face a greater threat from this culture in raising their children than any Christian mother has ever faced before. Not only did she face a culture, this good woman is faced, this new mother here is facing a culture full of depravity, but it's also a culture, and see if this doesn't sound familiar, a culture that is absolutely fascinated with death. Just one little part of that is there in chapter 1 in verse 16, where these state-mandated abortions are in view. They're killing babies. know, people run around, they scratch their heads and they say, why is all of this happening? What's going on? My wife was showing me where somebody posted a post and said, why is everybody blaming the Democrats for what's going on? Here's just something that really people need sometimes just to have another reminder. You can't expect bad people to do good things. You can't expect people who believe in killing babies and in transgender sex operations for little elementary children with or without their parents' consent, or in same-sex marriage, or this is what they believe in, this is what they're pushing, and you cannot expect people like that to have a grain of honest goodness in them. And this is part of the dark force with which godly Christian mothers have to contend. It's not like it was for some of the mothers here, the older mothers. It's a different world. It was a different world for Jochebed and Amram and their children now. She faced a culture fascinated with death. Godly mothers are nurturers, they're instructors. So many verses, Proverbs begins with this. Remember the law of thy mother, chapter 1. Godly mothers are instructors. I mean, they're teachers. They not only lay on the love, but they lay down the law. They're instructors, they're teachers, they're encouragers, they're nurturers. But here's something else a godly mother is. They're warriors. Amen. You got to be a warrior. There's a mother who had that kind of spirit spoken of in 1 Samuel. Her name was Rizpah. The Bible says she put up a battle against the buzzards that wanted to devour her children. A poet's written this. He said, the bravest battle that was ever fought. Shall I tell you where and when? On the maps of the world, you'll find it not. It's fought by the mothers of men. A godly mother. Thank God for godly mothers. She faced the greatest threat that a godly mother can face. And she faced the greatest test that a mother can face. What's a mother going to do in a time like this? She's going to take the easy route? She's going to say, well, I'm going to raise my children, I'll just go along to get along. You know, I'll look around and see what others are doing, and I'll do that. I'll conform to that as much as I can. No, there's a real test comes to bear for Christian mothers. They can either give in to the whining and the crying and the pouting and the fit throwing of their children, or the pressures of family and others that will say, you're going to ruin your children if you raise them and try to raise them like that. That will put a test on a godly mother. You know how she faced this test? Here's how a godly mother does it. She faced these tests with faith. Amen. She had faith in God. You read in Hebrews chapter 11 about all these heroes of the faith and heroines of the faith. Jochebed and Amram, some of the greatest heroes of the faith that ever was. She faced these tests not only with faith, but she faced them fearlessly. I think of some mothers I've known. I think of thinking of a couple right now in my wife's family for sure. They sure fit this bill, women of faith, and boy, were they fearless. They didn't just put up with anything that jeopardized their children's growing up and living for God. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23 tells us Moses' parents were not afraid of the king's commandment. Brother McDowell, we've come to a place in this country where we're going to have to grow stronger and stronger in our faith so that we won't be afraid. Godly parents are going to have to stand up. Not only to, it's gone beyond that, not only to carnal family members and others that think they know better about raising children than we do, but we're going to have to stand up to the government. Now let me just close with this. Here's what Jochebed and all of this, here's what she found. Good news. Here's the first thing she found. She found help. Amen. Have you ever been looking for help in your life? You didn't have family members that could help you. The situation was too big for that. You needed help, real help. And where could you go for that kind of help but to God? And Jochebed found help. Now, she had the help of a godly husband. A godly mother ought to be able to depend on help from her husband. Amen. That goes both ways. Mothers need to support their husband's role as a father and as the head of the home. Let me just say that again, because some people, some of these KJV people, women, know what the Bible says in the KJV about the husband being the head of the home, but they got an NIV mentality. Amen. They know the husband is to be the head of the home, but they undermine him and discourage him to the rest of the family, to the children. And they're not really KJVers, they're NIVers. I just thought I'd get that out there. Amen. I don't care if you're carrying a KJV around as big as a telephone book under your arm. Amen. If you're not obeying what that Bible says, you are not. None of us are to interpret the Bible the way we want it. It's not a smorgasbord. Amen. She had the help of a godly husband. Amram, remember, was a child of the tribe of Levi too. He was a good man. There's a New Testament couple that reminds me just exactly of Amram and Jochebed. And it's the parents of John the Baptist, Elizabeth and Zechariah. Can you imagine? The Bible says two are better than one. And here is a husband and a wife who are yoked together. I mean, they're on the same page in raising godly children. What a blessing. She had the help of a godly husband, and she had help from the God of heaven. She found help. We're all going to need more help from the God of heaven today. Let me throw this in real quick before I close. She also found, a godly mother today also finds a whole lot of help from a good church. Amen. Amen. We're supposed to be in church anyway. But every Christian mother needs all they can get. And parents, in raising their children from being in a good church. A lot of bad things, let me just say this real quick. A lot of bad things that go on at home can be offset by being in a good church. A lot of Christian mothers have found out that they didn't have that support at home. And there were things that went against what they were trying to bring about at home. But that was offset by being in a good church, supporting the ministry of a good church. So she found help. And this godly mother then found something else. She found happiness. As Jochebed watched how everything played out, as long as she lived, she found happiness in seeing how God watched over her while she was living here. Amen. So we had a whole bunch of mothers, some of our mothers and grandmothers here today, and they had it in them, they'd all say, amen, amen, amen. I've found a lot of happiness in life and seeing how that God worked it all out while I've been living here. But she also found happiness in seeing not only how God watched over her while she was living here, but one day, Jochebed passed away. Good, godly, faithful mother. And she found a lot of happiness when she saw what God had waiting for her after she left here. Amen. I've known so many mothers like this, preached a lot of their funerals. I think of so many that have gone on. And they've been such good, Christian, godly mothers. I'm not saying they were perfect women. Nobody's perfect. But I'll tell you, I've never felt more assurance about any people on earth than these Christian women and where they're headed, where they're going, and what they're going to find out after they leave here that God's had waiting for them all along. Amen. A godly mother. Let's all stand together.